All right, it is 8:41. Glad to have you with us. Got a special guest in studio with us, Detective Eric Edson with the Sheboygan Police Department joining us. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Kelly. Great. Thanks for having me.
You are chock full of information on scams and ID theft. And we were just talking off the air about, you know, technology has made it so easy for scammers to get a hold of people and separate them from their money. You know, and what have you got for us today?
Well, and not only that, but it's harder for law enforcement to find these people. The technology has allowed them to hide behind a curtain a lot of times and made it harder for law enforcement. So our department's position is that it's much better to educate the public and actually prevent yourself from being the victim, because there's really very little that law enforcement can do after the fact other than maybe try to help you clean up the mess. So,
right.
Like you said, there's so many different permutations of the scams, way too much to try to address in one visit. So what I'd like to do is give people maybe three strategies that they could implement right away to prevent themselves from becoming the victim of a scam. And then over the next several months, we can talk about specific scams and the different aspects of those. So
yeah, no shortage of material, is there?
There's not. No, unfortunately,
unfortunately.
There's not. Right, right.
Yeah, so what do you want to touch on today, Eric?
So the first thing that people can do to prevent themselves from being the victims of fraud and some of the scams is to place a credit freeze on their account. It used to cost money to do that, but with some of the new laws, it's free now. There's a difference between a credit freeze and a credit fraud alert. Not to get into the weeds too much, but the freeze is much better as far as preventing yourself from being the victim of fraud. It prevents scammers or hackers from using your personal information to open new accounts, new credit accounts, take out insurance, health insurance, things like that. Anything that would require someone writing a credit check, it prevents them from doing that. So in order to do a credit freeze, you have to contact each one of the three bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and they all have forms on their websites and telephone numbers that you can call. And basically, you lock your credit. That doesn't prevent you from using credit. If you have to buy a car and need a loan or buy a house, you can unfreeze your credit temporarily. You can thaw it with a PIN number that's only known to you.
Okay.
So it doesn't prevent you from getting new credit if you absolutely have to. They just verify your identity. And it doesn't prevent you from using the current credit that you have. So any credit cards, things like that, you can still use just fine with a credit freeze on your account. Just makes it difficult for scammers to actually impersonate you. The second thing people
would you recommend people do that? I mean,
I do, especially if you're older and don't anticipate that you're going to need credit anytime soon, that you have established credit and you don't anticipate taking out new credit. It's very easy to thaw your credit if you need to use it. So
yeah.
It's a practical common sense step that people can take that will prevent scammers from using your information to open up new lines of credit or to implement fraud against you. So.
You don't hear a lot about that. That's interesting.
No, and it's free and it's super simple. So it's a great way to proactively. It's an inconvenience, certainly. You can't go to the store and take advantage of the 0% financing as easily as you might be able to otherwise.
Sure.
But it's certainly one of the most common sense practical steps to do.
Okay. What else you got for us, Eric?
Just recently with all the COVID-19 things, you used to be able to check your credit report on a website, really the only reputable website that I'm aware of. annualcreditreport.com. That's the only one that really is legitimate, free of charge. But you used to only be able to check your credit once a year from each one of the bureaus. Now, with COVID-19 and all the fraud that surrounds it, and with people taking out the PPP loans and the stimulus checks, they've made it available so you can check your credit once a week on those websites through April of next year. So I encourage people to take advantage of that. You don't have to pay for credit monitoring. You don't have to pay for a service to get your credit score. You simply go to annualcreditreport.com once a week, and you can check your credit report for free to make sure there's no unauthorized accounts on there, make sure the information is correct, there's not an address that you don't recognize that you never lived at before. If you find those things, that's a telltale sign that someone has compromised your information, and you should look into that further.
Yeah, and what should they do if people see something fishy on a credit report? What's the first thing do you think they should do?
The first thing they should do is contact the credit bureau to dispute that information and identify that it's fraudulent, and then dig into where that information came from. If it's an account that they don't recognize, contact that creditor, find out where that account was trying to be opened at. And as a last resort, they could certainly report it to law enforcement to check into if they're having difficulty locating where the credit was trying to be opened for them or where this address was. They can contact law enforcement for assistance for that.
All right. Very good.
Finally, this is kind of common sense things, but don't respond to unsolicited emails, text messages, phone calls that ask for your personal information. That's the easiest way for scammers to get your information. So be aware that all these different companies, banks, the government, they're not going to call you over the phone or send you an email like that. You should be reaching out to them directly. So, for example, if you're wondering where your stimulus money is, or you're wondering about a tax refund, or you're wondering about your bank, if you get a text message saying, click here, click this link to check on that status, just delete that. Go to the website directly, enter your information there. You can feel confident that if you see that it's a secure website and you actually type in the web address, you know where you're going to. That's the best way to feel secure about giving your information that way.
Yeah, and boy, that the not clicking on a link that's included in an email is so important, because you can click on something and not have any idea what's going on with your computer, because they can take over your computer with, you know, a malicious link.
For sure. Those things can be embedded in a link like that, a hyperlink, and they can run programs on your computer to data mine information from you and to monitor your activity. There's a lot of bad things that can happen when you click a link. So really never, ever, not ever click a link in an unsolicited email, text message, or anything like that.
It's tempting to do, but you...
It is, but and they know that, and they prey on people's, you know, you won the lottery, and people are excited about that and the prospect of winning several million dollars, but that's that's the hook of the scam, is to get you to click that link. And just, it's always going to be a scam, Kelly. Always, just never click the link.
Good advice. You want to wrap it up there, or do you have something
else
for us?
Sure. One final thing that people like to do, and this has really become a big issue, is on Facebook, typically, people are all familiar with these surveys that are on there that ask you what your favorite color is, what city did you grow up in, where did you take your honeymoon, what's your dog's name, things like that. Understand that those are a form of social engineering used by scammers to get information from you that you typically might use for a password or a security question. So don't fill out, stop giving scammers that information. Stop making it easy for them to have that information to compromise your accounts by giving that information freely on Facebook. Those surveys are designed to mine that information. It may be fun to do, but understand that you're giving up potentially security questions for your information.
Yeah, it's good to know. A lot of people engage on that on Facebook, so.
Sure. Yeah, it like I said, it's fun to do and it seems benign, but you know, criminals are very sophisticated and they're coming up with different ways to get personal information from people, and that's just one of the ways to do it.
All right, good advice, Eric. Chock full of good stuff for us this morning, and we're going to talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
And we'll get more from you. Eric Edson, Detective Eric Edson with the Sheboygan Police Department here on WHBL. All right, coming up on 850, we're going to check business news. Coming up next here, stay with us.
I'm Kim Commando, inviting you to join me. The Kim